comedy didn't happen till 2012, actually.
Wow.
That's, bro, I got to Lagos in 20. I brought, funny, I brought an album to Lagos, a rap album in 2003, thinking that
this was it.
Going to take over.
This is it. You ask me where I get all my energy from. From the stage, to the studio, and to my desk. I am the energy god. And you can be one too.
You're listening to Adeshokpe Live, the Afrobeat podcast. Right. Right.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to a brand new edition of Adeshokpe Live, the official Afrobeats podcast, here at the Afro Media Studios in London, where we break down the hottest topics in the culture. And most of the time, I'm joined by a superstar to break down their story with me one-on-one. As always, we appreciate the subscriptions, likes, comments, sharing. We want the numbers to keep going up so we don't wait for anybody to support our culture without us. We want to be able to support our culture and push our people forward, but we need the numbers to be able to do that. So if you haven't subscribed yet, it's simple. Click off a button, click the subscription button, and share with your friends and family. Let them follow the profile too. We appreciate the support and every single one of those comments we get. We say thank you. As always, this is brought to you by the Energy God Energy Drink. Drink and be yourself. You know, stay true to yourself, stay energized, stay refreshed. Go to energygod.com, and that is GAWD.com. Get those orders coming in. We're getting to our second year now producing the energy drink. Can you imagine that? But anyway, we appreciate the love and support. Listen, joining me in the studio for the very first time here in London, UK, is a brother of mine I came in contact with largely during the pandemic. This is a Nigerian superstar comedian, a social media personality, an MC host of his own individual right. One of the funniest people online, my brother, Efe Worry Boy!
Yo!
Efe, what's going on, man?
I'm here.
You are in this town.
Live with the energy, the legendary energy god, yeah?
Listen, bro, yeah, welcome.
This is a moment for me, actually.
This is a moment for me. You've been a brother of mine that we connected online. Yeah. Me, I'm a big fan of people that just make me laugh. Mm. And that is not only like adults, even kids. Like, that's one of the reasons why I like children.
Yeah.
Because it's like living with an in-house comedian without them knowing that they're funny.
Yeah.
You know, you caught the attention of the world mostly during the pandemic when we were on social media all the time. Of course, you had been popular in Nigeria, been doing your thing, but a lot of us in diaspora really got to know you then. Before we get to the viral moments, to the crazy videos, you headbutting your phone, let's talk about, you know, Efe, the guy. Where did this journey start? Where are you from? Where were you born and raised? And talk me through your journey as a comedian.
Okay, my name is Charlton Efe Rogene Igboge. You know, but if you don't want to pronounce the full Robo name, you can just say Efe, which is what I'm here right now.
Yeah.
So I was born in Benin City.
Wow.
Yeah.
You be Edo boy.
From Warri.
But born in Benin.
Yeah. Then it was Bendel, actually.
Yeah.
And my dad used to work for Bendel Insurance.
Wow.
You know, the insurance company.
That was like one of the most popular insurance companies in Nigeria. Yeah.
So he used to play for the club as a footballer.
Wow. Yeah.
And he also played for Nigeria. My dad's stalker.
No way.
Yeah, my dad was an ex Green Eagles, not Super.
Before that was Super that was them Segun Odegbami time.
Before Segun.
God damn it. Yeah. We're talking the '70s.
Yes. The most notable one for me was the All African Games in 1973.
No way.
Yeah, he won that. So if you check greatest Super Eagles of all time, my dad's name is there.
What was your dad's
Sylvester
name?
Sylvester Igboge.
No way.
Yeah. So that man gave birth to me. And my mother, of course. So I was born in Benin, basically. Raised in Warri, you know, Nigeria. And then just grew up by myself, really.
Hmm.
You know, all my schools in Benin. And
you schooled in Benin?
Yeah, primary school, secondary school, then university was...
Where was your university?
My university was online, actually. I didn't go to any form.
And online? Whilst you were in Nigeria?
Yeah.
Gangster.
The story is crazy.
Talk to me.
Yeah. It's a crazy story. So what happened was, my dad was retired from football, of course, before I was giving birth to. But, you know, he was still fresh out of retirement. So most of his friends would come to the house. And then Bender Insurance employed him as one of the managers. Then he moved to Port Harcourt and thought he was single.
Wow.
I'm telling you. So he just, but my dad literally just moved on. He moved to Port Harcourt and just left us.
And just disappeared.
I'm telling you.
You're kidding me,
bro. No jokes. So.
And how many siblings do you have?
Three of us, but one is late, my younger brother. You know, so just me and my sister from my dad and my mom. But dad has about 12 kids.
Wow.
My dad not King Solomon normally. My dad married like 5 wives.
No way.
Yeah. So, anyways, he moved to Port Harcourt and we're just in Benin by ourselves and Momsi. And I went to meet him. You know, I grew smart. I go find my papa now. Because
you hadn't seen him for how long at that time?
This was about 10 years.
You hadn't seen him for 10 years?
Yeah, for
Did
about
you
10
hear
years.
From him?
Not all? Exactly. You know? But I was meeting up with my other siblings who were also kind of looking for him.
That's
you know.
It. Talk to me.
He wasn't missing. No.
He was there.
We knew he was in Port Harcourt. We just didn't have any business with him because he wasn't ready to be reached. You know, as at that time. So we were in Benin with Momsi, and then the worst happened. Momsi too. You know, MIA on us.
No way.
I'm telling you, myself and my younger bro. So it was just me. And my younger bro in Benin, so that affected the whole university stuff. Because I had already gained admission to uni just to study theater arts.
Oh!
Which I went for like 3 months and...
Just couldn't survive.
Got angry and came back to Benin and just, you know.
And what was that like? Having dealt with the initial trauma of your dad abandoning his responsibilities and just leaving. And then having to... The one other person that you probably had a lot of faith in your mom, also leaving. What does that do to a young man that also has siblings? What was that like? Talk to
me
about
that. The funny thing is, there was no time to think as at that time. Because I was literally on the street, myself and my younger brother. Like, if anybody that grew up with us in Benin who watched this video, we'll just laugh. Because then they used to call us death row. Two of us.
No way.
I'm not joking. I'm serious. For real. So we were just leaving. It was a reality because we went to look for my dad. And then stuff happened. I came back to Benin.
You saw him?
To complain. Yeah, we saw him. And then I got the scar on my head right now.
Physical.
But yeah. It was crazy. But anyways. So we moved back to Benin and found out that Momsi was...
gone.
Nowhere. You know, she left where we used to live. And then nobody could give us a reasonable address or anything.
How long had you gone for?
Say about 3 weeks. I'm telling you. So the plot was strong, you know. But...
Yeah. 3 weeks and you came back home and she had gone.
I'm telling you. She was gone, like, gone. So myself and my younger brother just looked at us. The good thing about that situation was we knew everybody around the area already knew us, right? So
you had friends.
Yeah, it was not difficult to get places to
squat
sleep
for a couple days
and all that. And then, funny enough, you stay in somebody's house today, and then the person will just come and meet you after 2 days. Like my mama, they squeeze face. So you know, you have to. So just. We kept going and going, and it was just, I can't even, funny enough, I can't even put dates to this stuff.
And how long do you think that went on for? Where you were just moving from house to house,
literally
struggling with your friends, and
that lasted for like about 2 years.
God damn it!
Yeah,
and how old were you?
Can't even remember. This was
teenager,
like, yeah, very, very. It's like the early 90s. I'm talking 93, 94. Yeah. No, this was 96.
Damn.
Yes.
Cause 17, 18.
Yes, because why I remember it was 96 was that period I went to look for Popsy in Port Harcourt was the same period that Nigeria won the Olympics.
1996.
96. So it was 96, yeah. That's, you know.
So now you are in this situation where you're all by yourself. You had presumably finished secondary school at this time. You're supposed to be stepping into university, but obviously that can't happen. So what now kicked in? What was the way? Did you start working? Did you start looking for hustles?
Yeah,
what were you
of
doing?
Course. I had to get a job, you know, at one of the companies in Benin then. Trying to get a house, basically. That was the dream. Yeah, just get a house of my own and all that. So I ventured into. So when I say that in my comedy, people just didn't understand it. That I've done tailoring, I've done conductor work, I've done plumbing. Yeah, I did all of this stuff just trying to find, you know, the right thing to do. And then I started working. I rented a house. I gave the landlord money. The man said, "You can't take money from me. I should just go and stay there."
In Benin.
In Benin. And then all this while, there was a family house in Warri that we didn't really know who was there. You know, so it's not something you can just stand up and just go there. Popsy was not there. Momsy was not there. So my younger brother just woke up one day and was like, "We can't be living like destitute. What's going on? Let's even go and look for our house in Warri." So he went first, right? And I decided to come to Lagos, not knowing anybody.
You came to Lagos?
To Lagos. And then I came to Lagos in 97, and I couldn't stay. Because I came with a friend who I just met in Benin for like 2 weeks, who said he was living in Lagos. I didn't even inform him I was coming to Lagos. I just got his number, and I came into Lagos. I told him I was in Lagos. "Where are you?" He said, "Yanoworo." I went to his house. I was there. His mom was looking at this strange boy. "Who's this guy? This guy is just living with us without any proper plan, no introduction, nothing." And then the mom just flipped one day. I was like, "You have to go and look for, if you have a family member here or something, you can't just come from
and say
Benin and
kid
say,
and just come and stay."
Yeah,
with somebody.
But back then in Benin, we used to hear stories of people just going to Lagos and just
and then
make it. So that, I wanted that to be my story, man. Like, so I just took that risk. I came to Lagos. I was with them for about 3 months.
No way.
I'm telling you. And the woman was so cool. She was feeding me. But she kept looking like, this guy
what's
is
the
relatively
story?
Young. Like, no parents, nothing. Nobody's even calling to say, "Did you steal in Benin? Why did you run away from home?" I couldn't really just, break down my story and all that. I was just like, I just came to Lagos to do that. Then I was not really doing music professionally.
Yeah.
You know, so I had to go back to Warri at this point. That was when I went, you know, back home to Warri to stay. And then I was in Warri for a bit all through the Warri crisis. I was there to 97, 98, 99, 99. I'm just rushing the story anyway.
Yeah.
99 was when I started doing music, because there's this boy in Warri who I consider a legend. He would use his, I don't know what game that was. I think it was the Nintendo.
Yeah.
He would use his Nintendo to produce sound.
Ha!
I'm telling you, this dude was a legend.
Geniuses, man.
He would use his Fruity Loops to produce sound. And my house in Warri, we have this big sitting room where anybody can just come and chill. So the guys would come into my sitting room and just stay there, and Toji Brown would just be producing for everybody. That's how I became a rapper.
And that was like the family house that you went back into?
Yeah, that was the family house I went back into. So my eldest brother was there. Then I had this cousin who was like my best pal. You know, the guy was the one that received me when he just saw me. He was like, "I don't define you since, but, you know, I hear on a story. Come, no worry, everything will be all right." You know, and all that stuff. So he was the one that really welcomed me. So we were living in Warri. We were just there. No direction, really. Just family house.
Just boys.
Nobody's going
especially
to.
Especially those 90s time. Nobody, they go school.
Nobody, they go school. Everybody just there. You know, people go. But my dad, my granddad had, you know, different buildings.
Yes.
So sometimes they would just share money, come. sometimes people we maybe they run out of luck will come pay NEPA bill give us.
Boys, just take our whole side.
You, man, it was a norm. Like with the drag Google collector. My eldest brother was just go, who'd I give that NEPA bill today? Me, I don't come out. So it was fun while we were living, you know, there. So that was how I got into music, really. You know, I was just watching these guys do stuff, and I was like, I can't be me. Before then, I was listening to Park, because Park was like
Tupac was the 1996?
Yeah.
In Nigeria, like, is Tupac or Biggie?
Yes.
Pick one side.
Yeah, and funny enough, I hated one of Tupac's best song was the song I really hated.
Which one was that?
Dear Mama.
Ah!
Bro, I hated that song that time.
Oh, because of your personal story.
Yeah, because I was fighting what I didn't understand. You know, and Mom's story is different. She was pushed to, you know, to move on because broke, nothing did. You know, so it was later I understood that part when we connected and all that, but I hated that song.
Because it was, like, so it was telling a story of a mother that was there.
Yeah.
And you couldn't relate to that.
Couldn't relate to that. So basically, you know, so basically that's how I started doing music then. In 2003, something happened. That's how I moved to Lagos. My cousin.
That was your best friend.
My best friend got shot during the worry crisis.
Ah!
It was like, I didn't understand what was happening. You know how? And
did he go out or did that happen in the house?
No, he went out with his friends.
Yeah.
Then there was coffee and worry.
Yes.
So he went out with his friends. The story was never adding up. And there was a wedding going on in my compound. And they were rushing this wedding because by 7,
everybody had to go home.
So his friends came. He was at the wedding. We were all chilling. Then this guy had moved out of the family house. I was even living with him where he was staying now.
No way.
You know, but we came back to family house and his friends came. They drove out. He said somebody was fighting and the mobile police around there just shot. And the bullet hit my cousin. Guess what? We didn't know what was happening. Right? I was in front of my house, myself and my younger brother. And somebody was walking past my house and said, his brother's with this now. The guy when they shoot 9 brothers with this now. That's how we
found out.
The guy, like, who did this? Your brother did Syracuse, one popular hospital in Warri. We took off. We went to meet my other brother. I told him we took off. We went there. We got there. He was smiling. You know. Apparently, the doctor did a quick surgery for him and then left. So the bullets, according to them, cut his vein.
Yeah.
And then the doctor did not join the vein back.
So he was bleeding internally.
He was bleeding internally. So the doctor just left the injury, and stitched everything, removed the pellets of bullet and all that stuff.
Damn it.
Then this guy, I was with him in the hospital. One day he just said, this was like after 3 days, he just said, I'm not feeling my leg. I said, what's happening? So I pressed the leg, the flesh wasn't coming back out.
It was just going in.
It was just going in. Called the doctor. The doctor said that we need to transfer him to another hospital, that he doesn't understand what's happening. So that's how we took him from Lagos to UCH Ibadan.
No way.
Then we had never been outside that whole, apart from me, we had gone to Lagos. You know, we had never been to any of those areas.
That UCH, that's around my dad's, that's my city.
Oh, yeah. So we got there and they told us that his left leg has to go.
Ah!
This person I'm talking is your height, like bigger though, but 6 foot. So like, it didn't make sense. I was the only family member there, apart from his friends, about three of his friends. And we're looking at the situation, like, what's going on? This situation that nobody told him. They just said, who is his next of kin? I said, me. The doctor just said his left leg has to go. Coincidentally, the doctor was somebody who me and her attended the same secondary school.
Wow.
You know, so she was just talking to me like, if that stuff doesn't go, it's going to affect
his whole
the
body.
Rest part because the leg is already decaying. I was like,
Jesus Christ.
How do we even explain this thing to this? Because he's a jolly good fellow. We should have told him. And so there was a company he was working for in Warri. Those ones called, we gave them feedback, and they said, okay, let them just do it. So they were saying, is it not possible to fly him out to go and do the surgery? The doctor said it's going to be late before they prepare all the stuff. Anything can happen. So let's just take off the limb and fly him out, and then they'll treat him properly and all that. We agreed. Lo and behold, went into surgery, came out. They said we should go and buy blood. Went to buy blood, came back. I wasn't hearing any news. Like, where's the person that is there? Is the intensive care unit? There's one nurse will come. The doctor will see you. We literally turned that hospital upside down, trying to get information on what's going on. Then I said, what happened was he stopped breathing, but then he came back, and then he's no longer breathing, so you're just watching him. I'm like, I don't know. What kind of story is this one? Bro, it was some of the, like, that's why nothing shakes me now. For real. Like, me and this guy were gisting, because I had to give him, you know, talks before he went for the surgery, before he went into the theater. Like, bro, don't worry. These people don't talk, so they'll give you, you know, this kind of talk. So he was telling me, correct. This guy didn't make it out.
God damn it.
Of that surgery. So they told us, and we said, we didn't even know what to decide. We turned the place upside down for real. Broke things, destroyed stuff. The police had to come in, you know, the police heard the situation, and they didn't have a choice than to just calm us down. Like, this has happened. So what you need to do now is, and I leave him here and go, or take his body. So we're going to take his body
back
to Warri. So imagine me going to Ibadan with my elder brother and then returning back with his body, same vehicle, because the ambulance waited for us.
No way.
I'm telling you. So that was like a moment for me. And I just went back to the house. I just took my clothes and just packed my bags. Next morning, as soon as we landed, worried, it was early in the morning. I can't even remember the time. But so I just took my bag and I went to a friend's place. I was there for like 2 weeks. I was trying to make sense
of what's, you know, happened,
of the whole situation. This is not looking real right now and all that stuff. Then, of course, he wasn't married, so they did the burial. As soon as they just buried him, 2003, I moved to Lagos straight, you know. So that's how.
But that was, damn.
It was crazy.
That's, so mm-hmm. You had started to mess with music at this time,
mm-hmm.
and went through this trauma again. Where did comedy come in?
So comedy didn't happen till 2012, actually.
Wow.
I got to Lagos in 20. I brought an album to Lagos, a rap album, in 2003, thinking that
this was it.
Going to take over.
This is it. Like, diggity, like, check, yo, one, two, like, diggity, diggity.
When they hear this word,
and
well,
you come from the boom bap
era,
era of rapping. You're a rapper.
Mm-hmm. True. Do you know the funny thing? I think it's affecting my music taste, really. Because I don't know most of the new rappers.
Because you are caught up in that boom bap era.
So I was talking to somebody, and it was like 2 years ago that I knew of J. Cole.
And that's your guy. That's supposed to be the bloodline.
I didn't want to listen
from
to anybody that wasn't, you
that
know,
was not Timberland and baggy jeans.
Bro, I didn't like Lil Wayne for a long time. Until I heard the song he did with Jay-Z. No jokes. When I heard Lollipop, I was like, what's this? So I didn't want to listen to anybody. I would go back to my Snoop, go back to my Dre, go back. I love them in them, of course. I listen to these guys. So I can say the rap album I listened to top to bottom last was 50 Cent's Get Rich or Die Trying.
God damn it.
I was stuck on that era. Then Mode 9, of course.
Yes.
Mode
9
was my guy. You know? So I was listening to Ninja rap, you know, but 2003, I thought I was taking over Lagos. I was coming, plus I just lost my other brother. Like,
so you had stories.
Spirit is with me. Let's go. Bro.
What was that like? The reality that. You know, how hard did you fight for it in Lagos? What did you do?
So I touched down Lagos with zero connections, zero number to call. Zero number. Nobody. So my first point of call was Ojuelegba under bridge. First. But that didn't last. It was like 24 hours. I didn't sleep.
You just sat there.
I was just there with my bag on my back. Me, I was hip hop.
Proper.
I'm telling you. So in my mind.
This was a two-pack story.
The funny thing is, I didn't have a house. There was nowhere to sleep. But I didn't even, it didn't affect me. I didn't even see it like I was going through. My own was like, this is the grind.
Because this was the grind that we were listening to back in the days.
Back in the day, this is the grind. Let's go. So the next morning, one guy was going to walk. The guy just saw me. The guy was like, don't be chatting with this.
Not lie.
I was like, not me. He said, your senior brother, my friend now. My late senior brother.
You're kidding.
Telling you. Yeah, like, what are you doing here? I like, man, the story long, man. I just need where I go back. He said, no, tell me, say, you know, get away this day. I said, I know where I sleep since yesterday. He said, go. Just took me to his house. Lawansin. So I was there for another 24 hours, and an angel came through. My cousin, who was my far cousin, the guy is like a fan of me from me. He hasn't seen me do anything. But he's just been hearing my name. Charlton is one of our brother that raps in Warri. So he's always wanted to meet me. Then somehow, somebody heard I was in Lagos, but he didn't know where I was. So me, I was just at that Lawansin bus stop, that dressed up, wear hip-hop, t-shirt, big jeans.
Big jeans.
I was standing there. Now I have a house. So I was standing outside the road just looking for, you know.
Anything.
You know. So... That's how the guy, he was driving past. He just stopped. He was like, so you will come this town. You know, go even come meet me. And I said, good afternoon. He said, oh, you did great. Good afternoon. Come on, digwe for me. That's what we say in my language. Like, so you have to say mingwa, which means I bow down for you as an elder.
Yeah.
So and I said that. And I said, where you stay? Anyway, go pack your bag.
Wow.
That was it. So I just went into the house. The guy was already at work. I just dropped the key with the neighbor and I went to my cousin's place. That was where I was staying. I was staying there. I was still believing. I was doing jingles for radio, Metro FM. Back then, there was this guy, Chuma, smooth operator. I was like his boy, his sidekick. I would go to his show. I would sit down. He would do all his stuff. Then me, I would just come in and just talk about hip-hop for like 5 minutes. We'll go off. In my mind, man, I was...
There's
nothing. Nothing beats this.
You're close.
You know? So I was doing that for a while. Then after a while, I just realized that, I'm not really heading
anywhere.
Like, this, the music that I even brought from Warri is already getting old. What am I going to do now? You know? So I decided to join Actors Guild of Nigeria. Back then... This was 2004, when 2004, 2005, then Funke Akindele was still doing I Need to Know. And I think she was the treasurer for Actors Guild back then. So I joined, I registered. We're having our meeting around the National Theater. So I was there, I joined acting. And I was doing a few movies here and there. And then I met a man called Don Pedro Baseki. You know, he was the guy pushing Zulezu. Back then, so he signed me into his label too. Because while I was pursuing my movie stuff, anybody I meet, I still...
You still tell them, I've got bands.
Oh, Baba, good. No
worries. That's a rapper story,
I'm
man.
Telling
Quick,
you.
Quick, 16 bar.
Yeah, so I would rap. And the man is this kind of guy that can encourage you from zero. Like, if Don Pedro listens to you and you are not doing this thing properly, something will just tell him that this guy, this, for him to even believe that I can do it, is possible. That's his way of... So he signed me to that label. So I was on the same label with Zulezu back then. We were still trying to push the music. He listened to my old songs and it was like, let's just refine this one. This one is nice. So we did all of that. I did one controversial song back then. Where I was yapping, Shegun Arinze. Then this because I was looking at, I was studying
50 Cent.
Yeah, I was studying.
Came in the game.
Even 50 was rugged. I was studying the industry and I was like, what's the shortcut to blow it? You know, okay, let me yab people now. But I was yabbing the wrong people. I was yabbing Shego Arinze. I'm telling you, man. I was yabbing Regina Askia. Bro, and the man just listened to the song. Was like, I love it. But
Regina Askia,
I'm telling you, I love it. But this one, you will not go anywhere.
You're not
going
to go anywhere.
And there's no direction to this. You're just yabbing people. What's going on? But the song was nice. So the funny thing is, when they come, he'll play for them. He played it for Shego Arinze. I was inside the studio. Shego was sitting there. He was listening to the song. Not for once did he smile. I just it was years ago. I just left. And then the man said, you see Shego wake up. I said, yeah. You hear when I play the song, when I say, yeah. You just say, no smile. I said, ah, that made me come out. Yeah, so basically, we were just doing all of that. Then the music thing too. So the man was into too many stuffs, right? He was doing movies a lot. You know, he directed Igodo, you know, and the rest. So he was doing movies. So there was no time for him to really focus on my stuff.
On your stuff.
You know, we had a recording studio, but there was no proper in-house producer.
No direction, nobody you know, in there.
So just do stuff. Funny enough, it was where we had that studio. That was the first time I met Dagrin, the late Dagrin. I'm telling you, it was surreal for me when I saw him. Then there was no pop-up then. It was that song.
It was
so I loved the guy. I was like, who's this guy? This guy is... So when I saw him, I was like, I was a fan already, you know, back then. So he told me a lot of stuff. He was like, you know, you can't do this stuff. You sound... Come here, I was rapping for everybody. Like, I was just freestyle.
That's a normal...
You know?
Rapper story.
You know, so... Basically, the music just somehow did not work out. I left that label. Then I signed to another Alaba marketer who was actually a movie producer, but he was venturing into music and he signed me. And then he paid for me to do a song with Terry G.
Wow.
Yeah. And I went to Terry G's studio. And I so when I see Terry G now, or when I see maybe people disrespecting Terry G online, I was like, you needed to have seen this guy work. You needed to have seen Terry G. Like, Terry G was a different kind of human being. One thing that really shook me when I went to his studio, I was seeing him online, right? Then Instagram, there was no Instagram, yeah, of course. So, but I was seeing him on Facebook and all those other stuff. In my mind, I thought that this guy would be one guy that would just smoke, drink, do all those
crazy
other stuff. Bro. I went to his studio. I bought this drink, 501, the big one. I was going to impress this guy. I got to his studio and he saw the drink and I was like, who you buy this one for?
Because he doesn't drink.
Yeah.
Yeah, he like, doesn't drink. And a lot of people.
He was like, I was like, it's you. He's like, I'm not an alarm.
Yeah.
I was embarrassed. I was like, you say this guy could just open the drink.
No.
And he told me that...
He was just an entertainer.
Yes, he said, let's focus on the song that Terry G went into the studio. He asked me, do you have a hook? I said, yes, I sang the hook. He said, I love it. He did the hook. In 2 hours, the song was done. Another news in my mind.
Because Terry G was the hit maker. Everybody.
Bro, guess what? Somebody that saw me in that studio gave me a gig in Calabar without hearing the song. Like, you mess with Terry G.
What?
All right. Yeah, you're a big artist. I'm not lying. Like, I gave me a gig in Calabar.
Now you are certified.
Yes, I performed the song unmixed. No jokes. And I went to Calabar and I was choosing my hotel room. I was like, I can't
stay here.
I wanted to test my...
The star power. I can't stay here.
You know, and back then, it was fun to see how people outside Lagos received Lagos artists. It's different. When all they need to say is, all the way from Lagos, the crowd will just go wild. I'm telling you.
Say, now then, when the Lagos, I mean this works.
And then I added another resume. He just did a song with Terry G.
Crowd go crazy.
All mixed. I performed the song everywhere. I had to perform that song like 5 times. And when I was coming back to Lagos, I was like, wow. boss, so not be even flat. I was like, wow. Now so this artist life be. And I'm blue. For where? We tried to shoot video. The marketer was having financial issues.
That was it.
I went back, I was always recording though. I went back to the studio, we're still doing songs. Then somebody brought another man again. I said, you should come and leave. Because I was like one of the kings in the studio where I was recording. So
they believed. Back
then, they believed me. As in, the producer, Tina, was like, you tell me that. One of them tell me, say, you know, go blue for music. I go, one of the Strambo, when you see Strambolella, ask Strambolella about me now.
Say, this guy bad.
Baba, Strambo heard my songs, right? And Strambo said, if this guy no blue, I no good. Strambo tried for us. Strambo was doing everything, was plugging our songs everywhere. Then I met Pastor Goody Goody, who was Strambo's close pal too.
Wow.
You know, then we were doing this music stuff. Then I had a manager who is like my best friend today, Abdul. You should know Abdul.
Singer?
No. Which he's one? The manager.
I don't know him.
America but... now, yeah.
Yeah, I know him Abdul. Now.
So Abdul introduced us to Bankole.
God damn
it. I'm telling you. Now, but Abdul introduced us to Bankole. In 24 hours, we performed at a Guinness concert.
Straight, Bankole. These boys, they are good.
As in, we were trying to get...
Connection, love you.
The new label that signed us now, we were trying to get the man to cover money for Clarence Peters to shoot our video.
Hi.
The man was like, which kind of budget be that? Because we had shot like 3 low-budget videos.
Yeah,
but you wanted... The man was like, what kind of... That will go cover 600K, 1 million. To, what did it happen? Who will be the guy? That's how we met Bankole. Abdul just said, no worry, relax. So we went to meet Bankole. Bankole listened to the song and he was like, okay, it makes sense. Is the man in Lagos now? Because the man was based in Benin. Is the man in Lagos now? We said, yes. He said, okay. When I invite him, they perform for Guinness concert this night for National Stadium. When he said that, we didn't it make sense to us. Like, which I don't understand. Like, he said, no worry. So Abdul said, Mona, come, Mona, no argue. We went to buy clothes. Then Abdul said, we should meet him at Yemi Sachs studio. We went there, he did the performance.
Mix for us. You.
Yeah. We went to the Guinness show, shut things down. The man was there, the man was sat in front. Bankole made sure he plugged the man in that place where the man. And so when the I'm telling you, listen, we went to the back, the green room, sitting down like artists. Bankole said, "Una cack." You know, so we performed at that show. It was good performance. And then Bankole didn't. Funny enough, Bankole didn't even see the man that night. Bankole just left. So it was the man that was now looking for.
Say, who be the guy? Where do this?
Yeah, job. So we now went to meet Bankole the next day. We're thanking him. He said, no matter now. So, okay. So when do you want me to meet the man? We told him. He said, okay. He met the man. We're not even there. He met the man at the office. And the man called me on the phone. I was like, get ready. You guys are shooting a video next week.
Damn.
Bro, that was the time that Clarence Peters just came in. And he had just shot a video for 2 shots at Timaya. In case you never know.
Nana, 2000 and...
Yeah, about 2007.
Bro, maybe 2008.
Yeah.
In case you never know. Yes.
So the video was hot everywhere.
Yeah.
And then Clarence finally shot that video for us.
Wow.
Then I told myself, okay, it didn't happen the first time. It didn't happen the second time. It's going to happen now. We shot the video. We collected the video from Clarence. And we were waiting to push this video. And the man went MIA. Yo, like, he rented a house for us. He just left us, left everything. And he wasn't taking calls. They said he was having issues because he had something to do with local government stuff and all that in Benin. And then the man didn't comfort anymore. At this point, we didn't know what to do because Bankole was traveling, you know, and all that stuff. Besides, he wasn't our manager.
Yeah.
So we were just there with Abdul trying to figure out what to do. There was no social media to push anything at that time. We just literally just allowed the thing just
Go.
So, but I was in serious pain. Like, what kind of career path is this one that will just stress you? Everybody will say this guy is good, but the thing is not working out. What's the problem? At some point, I started thinking it was spiritual. Like, is that from horrible? I said, this one not gonna come out to be, you know? But I was overthinking, you know, and all that stuff. Sure, it didn't work out. So, I was just doing movies, doing stuff, and I learned how to do sound in movies so I could, you know, make money. Of course,
on the side, extra.
If you did Lagos, you must pay for your bills and all that. So I was doing all of that stuff. And then I reconnected with Don Pedro Baseki.
Wow.
The same man who signed me as Zulezu.
Who was the movie guy.
Because the man, in his own mind, I'm like his son. You know, this didn't work at that time.
Yeah, can we still
start off from where we left? So I met him this time. And he was talking about him opening a TV, an online TV station. He was talking about how online is going to be the big thing, this, that. I didn't really keen to it because I was still angry from, this was the kind of talks we had that time and nothing happened. So I didn't pay attention to him, but I was still doing my stuff. And then I got married in 2012 and I learned it was in Lagos. So I said, okay, let me just take my wife to go and see him. And then as soon as we went to the studio, he introduced me to the person he was sitting with. And now the manager of the TV station will be this one. I'm like, I don't even work here. Which kind of talk be this? On Monday, I just wore suit assuming my position as manager of TV station. So we were running, it was an online TV. We were running the TV station, ran that station for like, maybe successfully for 1 year. It was online, but of course, no strong sponsorship and all that stuff. But now, when I was doing that stuff, I was interviewing people. I was going for red carpet, Pidgin English stuff. So I met a man called Emeka Smith, the comedian. I called him to interview him as a celebrity. Then I noticed that as I was talking on the show, the guy was laughing. He was just laughing throughout. You don't even want to ask some of the questions I was asking. Then as soon as we finished, he said, are you free now? I said, yeah. He said, I want to buy you lunch. I said, okay, no wala. We got to the place where he was going to buy me lunch. Meanwhile, this time, in my mind, I was still thinking that I was a rapper. So my mind was, let me use this every platform I have to push.
Just to connect music.
So Emeka Smith took me to a restaurant close to where my office was. And he said, this thing I want to tell you, I don't want me to vex. I noticed that when we're talking about music, you're a rapper, this, that. He said, but me, I see you more as a comedian.
Just like that.
That was what he said. And then he said, come see me for house later in the evening. I said, okay, no wahala. I was offended by what he said. So I didn't go. I was like, which guy talk? Be this one. This guy tried to tell me, I don't fail for music. So I just ignored him totally. But I was still doing the interview. I interviewed a couple of people, a couple of celebrities back then. All of them were saying the same thing. Some of them didn't even ask. They just said, you'll be a comedian. You know, like that. So he started registering. Then I was attending the church then in Surulere. For every event they had, I was always the host. You know? So I invited some of my friends who were musicians to the church one time. And then the pastor called one of them into the office after church. And he said, I noticed you are close to Ife. Talk to him to do comedy. So the girl came out and she was like, what did they happen? I said, what did they happen? He said, this pastor, they begged me, say, make I beg you, may you do comedy. And I said, which kind of thing? The man don't tell me this thing like 3 times. I don't even bother to answer her. You know? So she now said, at least try and see if it will work. I said, okay, no wahala. First point of call, comedy club, Surulere. I went to the comedy club and bombed.
As always, every comedian. Because you could go with structure.
Bro.
I don't know you say, nah.
I was, first of all, I wasn't go even with hyped jokes. To do it. I just went to prove to them that, okay, it's possible. Baba, I had a crack joke that they look me. Ha! And at this point, I hadn't done comedy before, so I didn't even know that, okay, if you talk Christian stage, you sign out. I didn't know anything. I was just waiting for the guy to come and take me. The guy was just looking at me.
And you just kept talking.
I just kept talking. At some point, the crowd just faced another direction. Oh, just talking to themselves. So the guy came to meet me, and the guy said, you funny, Sha, but you never just do comedy properly. I just turned to the people that were sitting with us. I don't see him now. Thank you. I left. So I was living with them almost in the same compound though.
Yeah.
So of course we see each other every day, but at this point they could not tell me about comedy anymore.
Mm.
You know, so but I was still there. I was just doing so one time another man again I invited. This story is funny, trust me. Another man again invited me based on him hearing that song I did with Terry G.
Yes.
That okay, he wants me to come and perform at so and so show. Is that is? I said exactly.
This not the thing.
And the thing where they talk with this now. Baba, how much you go pay in talk? We balance, give me money. He was now owing me balance. No problem. I can assemble my dancers. We went for the show, Baba. One guy was performing comedy. Inside me, I was angry. This guy's not doing well now. I now went to meet. Coincidentally, the person hosting the show was the person that we lived in the same compound. Then Cass was in that compound too.
Wow.
Cass beat.
Wow.
So I went to meet the organizer to tell him that I can do better than that guy. This guy paid me to come and do musical. Bro. Baba, so then give me my. The guy was happy. Like, thank God. Because the only comedian that I have here, I didn't even know what else to do. The people are not laughing. I said, I got you. And the guy had respect for me, so in no fit say no.
Question you, yeah.
That's why I carry my entire stage. I said the first thing, nobody laugh. I said the second thing, nobody laugh. I said, which guy wild up with this? As I won't talk again, Otumba Gbenga Daniel was governor there.
Wow.
He was just walking into the house, so I was lost in the whole celebration of him coming in and all that stuff. And I was standing there, and a woman in front now said, what do you really they do for the stage?
I get off the stage.
I was
man.
So confused to the point that I was explaining to the woman. I said, the woman, no. So they actually paid me to come and do music. It was a clip there. That's what comedy has to be. Baba, this time I tell you now, the owner of the show has lost respect already. So the girl who was the MC, oh yes,
God damn time it, to, man.
Yes, yeah, the yeah. Energy guy.
Yeah, I see you. I hear you. They go.
So the guy who was the owner of the show was just waiting for me to come backstage.
Make it tell you, say, Mama, you know, go.
I went backstage. The guy said, "When you came here," and so I wanted to say, "You say, Baba, please, oh, just listen to me." I said, okay, sir. He said, when you came here, did I respect you or not? I said, of course, you respect me. He said, so at what point did I offend you enough to that you decided to mess up my show?
God damn it.
I was like, that was not the intention, no. So the thing, what happened was, Modest Energy God makes sense.
Mm.
I swear. Yo!
Appreciate it, my brother. Appreciate it, man.
Limited, yo! Makes sense. The thing hits me as I talk. Correct. Now I drink Mariko.
God damn. No.
Makes sense. Baba, so the guy said, I respected you, Abby. I said, yes. He said, so I want to know, because I need to make sure that my own part is correct, so that I don't look like I'm overreacting. What have I done to you? I know I'm owing you balance. I'll bring it now.
Damn.
I said, Baba, no vex. They happen like that. I think, say, he said, you think? He showed that I planned for over 6 months. You came here to think that you will be funny on my stage. And then I gave you stage. You even went on stage when I took back being Adani was coming. What kind of embarrassment is this? Baba, no problem. Just left. I was sitting down there now. In my mind, why is it possible for me to rewind this moment, last 30 minutes moment, before I even said to the moment. Guy, you know, is it possible I was just there? My dancers at this point now were laughing hard. They were going in, man. They were like, you know the year what? This community will be it. Papa, the guy now said they should bring food for me. I was sitting there. They brought the food. Of course, I could not eat. I was just looking at the food. The guy now came to walk past me and I said, I want to see how you eat this food and digest it. Let me see what we make. I don't know what I did. I want to see if you have conscience or not. He walked past. Then the next thing brought my balance. He said, I want the universe. I want to be free in the hands of the universe. That was his word.
That I paid you.
That I paid you. But let it be known that you have offended me today. You are not performing musical. So once I give you this money, now you can go. I don't want to go and be telling people that man is wicked. And I told him, keep the balance. Don't worry. He said, no, Baba, take now your money now. As you don't get conscience. This stewardess, I sit down there. Inside me now, I was developing strong hatred for the comedy now. Because this scene has embarrassed me twice. So the man, he kept the money on the table. There was a girl working with him. I gave the girl the money back. The girl followed. As soon as the man left, I just took off. I went to him. If you see, cry. I was like, what kind of thing? The music is not even the music now that is supposed to work now. The one that they paid me, I messed it up with this same comedy. That this pastor is disturbing me to go on. What kind of nonsense is this? I just zoned out on comedy totally. So I was still doing other stuff. I was just recording songs basically. Then I ran into Emeka Smith again. And then he said, you did dodge me. And I told him that, see, you see this comedy thing, Baba? I don't want that. He said, come on there. What thing happened? I told him, he said,
that's the normal thing.
Then I said, they be now, don't worry yourself. And I said, okay. He said, come see me for us. I'm going to tell you what you do. I said, okay, no, wala. I still didn't go. December, I don't forget. December 20th, 2012. This guy walks into my office because I was still working with the TV. He walks into my office and he says, get one place where they go perform this evening. Meet me for there. No fellow. I said, okay, no wahala. He said, no worry, I'll tell them your name. Luckily, I was wearing suits that day.
So you're already so dressed. Good.
So he left, he sent me, gave me the address. The evening, I just took a cab. I got there. It was at Fantasyland, Ikoyi, and it was one of these telcos' end of year party. As soon as I got there, one lady just said, "Are you Ife?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Hey, come." And Emeka said, "You are the one hosting." Wow. Baba. I said, "No, no." He didn't say. He said, "I don't understand." And I said, "Yes, yeah, I'm the one." In my mind, I was like, "Which kind?"
Set up.
I called him. He was not picking. There's a guy that is always with him. I called that one. That one too did not pick. I don't know. Say it don't set. So I now went by the side. I was seated there waiting for the event to start. I just went on YouTube. I was watching comedians, MCs. I was just looking. I want to talk. Baba. As soon as the event started, they don't call your name before. Me to come aside. They do you like, which kind of team be this? So one of the MTN girls just said, don't worry, don't come. I'll just introduce you. What name should I call? I say, if you worry, but it's okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, our MC for the evening, if you worry, boy, the worry, why don't I make them happy? I don't know. They were just so happy, all of them. The people don't work from January to December now. Me, I just went there. I was just picking on people one after the other. Why are you so happy? It's like they paid you over. Papa.
Pass. Game changed.
This thing, I do. Like 1 hour into doing all of that, I was enjoying this job. I'm telling you.
Because the energy that was coming
back to me and all that stuff. And I was doing this thing. While I was doing it, in between, I would tell them, Emeka Smith is coming, you know, just to remind them that I'm not the
proper
guy.
Comedian.
They call. Then Emeka Smith sent Koloma, that's the prosper of my flatmate. He sent him to meet me up there so that he can do stand-up. That one came in, shut it down. I continued. It was like maybe an hour to the end of this event that Emeka Smith now came in. So when Emeka Smith came, I was so happy. Meanwhile, I was enjoying the event, but I was happy that
At least proper person don't come. I didn't know.
It was my first time.
Yeah.
I didn't know if they were happy.
Yeah.
Eventually, or they would go back and say, this guy not do well. Yeah. I didn't know, you know. So Emeka Smith came. I introduced Emeka Smith. Emeka Smith took the mic and said, Una, they enjoy him. They say, yes.
Affirmation.
Yeah, he said, my first time to do this thing. I tell her, since I've been doing, I ain't saying a lie. Continue. Just went to sit down.
God damn.
And started eating. So it was time for games. I did everything. As soon as I finished the event, we were inside the cab going to his own house. It was not like, how you say? I said, Papa, I enjoy this thing. He said, so. All you need to do is just enjoy it. Once you enjoy it,
mindset.
I'm telling you, that was how devil came again.
Confidence.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, yeah.
So at this point now, I will go for comedy shows, but I will not perform. Because I'm waiting for the MC, this kind of scenario
vibe
to happen. So Emeka now took us to Unilag for comedy show. We went to Unilag and I came on stage. They introduced me. I came on stage. I said the first stuff everywhere. Late. They were happy. Ah, Unilag student. Then I now insulted one girl in the crowd.
Counter! Game change! But you're learning, though.
Yeah.
Very early.
Yes.
So now you've seen that if the vibe is good, your energy is good, the reaction's good, if you offend somebody, you turn the mood around, it affects your own performance.
Yes. Baba, that was how the student turned me upside down. If he see insults,
they yab you as you did.
Get out from that stage. This, that. Now, this was another new experience for me because there's never this. The first one I did was front of a crowd, but nobody, it was just a woman I was tackling. This one now, the entire crowd. Like, get out from there. So, but I did one thing. I now apologized, calmed them down. And I said, should I continue? They said, no. I said, okay, let me call Emeka. They say yes. I just left. So while I was disappointed and angry, I was happy that I was the one that
also handled that situation.
You know, the situation. Then I was like, I can do this job. I can do it. There's no serious thing in it. The highest thing that will happen, they will not laugh.
Yep.
But I was still scared of doing stand-up comedy. Baba, I would for like maybe a year or two, or more, I will go to comedy shows. I will go to comedy shows and see comedians performing and be like,
I'm better than this
guy. This guy jokes supposed to be like this.
He's
supposed to. So there's this right hand man that I have. Omini. He's perfect. Every time we're driving, you are always telling me jokes.
But that's the thing. That's like, that's one of the benefits. I think. That's how the funniest people come. Number one, it's part of you you don't even know.
Yeah.
That's why you thought you were never funny.
Yeah.
Number two, you were studying too.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people in this entertainment industry, no matter what it is, music, comedy, acting, a lot of the talents don't study and didn't study.
True.
So if you don't do that, and just if you are lucky to fall, just falling on it on the wayside, you are blessed. But a lot of time, if you don't study this thing, you know, it's going to be hard. Like I said to people, I said, I've been presenting, doing sports, doing all this for a long time.
Yeah.
But there was one day I went to Anthony Joshua's press conference and I just went backstage to go and get some food or something. Anthony Joshua, everybody was out. And I saw one of the most respected boxing commentators in the UK. That man's like 70 years old.
Wow.
He was backstage. He was memorizing his lines.
Whoa.
Going over his lines. I couldn't eat the sandwich because I thought, this guy is still rehearsing. Now, who the fuck am I? Who am I? That's why, and I said, oh, that's why when he sits in front of these people, he's rattling this information. He knows this fight. He knows. No, be say, Baba sabi everything.
Yeah.
Baba is still working on it. That changed my life. So now, there is nothing. You see what you said about going on YouTube, watching those MCs and stuff. I did that as an MC, as a host. I would sit down and watch other people. So I'll take one style from this one. I'll take one style from this one. I'll learn from this one. And that's what gave me confidence.
Yeah.
A lot of times, when we are not confident sometimes, just doing your work, your background work, your background research, it builds a little bit of confidence that you know.
Absolutely.
Now, stand up has worked for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, TV has worked for you. Mm-hmm. Now, you're doing shows. Now, social media is a completely different beast.
Yeah.
We see you nodding the phones and stuff. When you are doing all those videos about talking about Tiwa Savage, talking about KC, all of these people, has anybody taken it, maybe being a little bit sensitive, taking an offense to any of the videos that you've done and reached out to you before?
I think it's just one person, and that was recent, Fina.
Oh,
yeah, that was
that video you did where you say about the 5 million.
5 million, yeah.
Oh, she reached out.
Whoa, she went in.
No way.
Yeah.
In DM.
Yeah. No DM. She did videos. She was on live. Cussing,
firing you.
I'm telling you, but guess what?
It was a joke now.
Yeah, but so this is the life of a comedian, right? Our job is a very, there's certain things you say as a comedian is sensitive. And there's one thing I keep saying, it's not, I didn't form the word, but it's always been there. You don't say stuff and tell people how to react.
Yes,
to
absolutely. What you say. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So whatever I say has gone out. Whatever is coming back, I just chest it. Like another one was when, that was how I lost my first Instagram page, though. That whiskey issue with Jollof.
No way.
Yes, now. So, and of course.
What was the story then? Because Jollof was attacking
whiskey.
So,
Jollof came out to say, oh, Wizkid was chasing clout and all that stuff with Davido's stuff. And then I went in and I was joking. And I was like, because I know the same as Jollof cool.
Yeah.
So I was like, nah, if Jollof, your elder brother, apologize to him.
Oh, yeah, I remember
Omo
that.
FC didn't take it lightly.
They reported your page and brought it down.
Until it came down.
You know?
I was with Basketball that evening when I saw the message.
From Instagram that you've been disrespectful.
Yes. No, not even disrespectful. Funny enough, they just said your page has been temporarily
taken down.
This time I never deleted the page. So I told Basket that evening, I said, ah, bros, see what my page said, what is this? Okay, I'll go see what I feel help you do. From see what I feel help you do to the next morning, my page don't go.
Bam!
The luck team is I get back up, which is what I'm using now.
Yes.
But that was almost 400K page now.
Yeah.
Baba. That was how the page went warm.
FC, we're not going to take it. That you disrespect Whiskey.
You know they see the respect. You know they see the respect as they talk to Whiskey now. And if there's not be said that age, Whiskey is senior me for life now. Wow. You respect. You know.
No way.
Whether you like it or not, you know, people will always react.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
You can't tell them how to, you know. So what I did for that girl was, what I felt, and this is going to sound controversial again.
Yes.
I felt like, you know, say if you talk true,
yes,
and person say you they lie,
yeah,
you know they too vexed. You go either just clear the person doubt.
Mm.
You know, especially when the person not tell you face to face.
Yeah.
You know, like, why this person say they lie? Okay, see proof now.
Yeah.
But when you lie, maybe you drop G's. The G's just come out. You just talk
sweet.
Out. Everybody enjoyed the G's because it sounded good.
Yeah.
But person can't go poke him. Say, this one lie.
But you know the funny thing, though? Mm-hmm. Even though a lot of people were like, ah, man, she... I know people that can do what she said a guy did in Lagos.
Yes.
I know guys, even in this London,
that's
how they talk to women. Like, why don't you come and sit at my table, man? Mm-hmm. Like, I'll give you £1,000.
Yes.
I know guys that do that. So when she said it, even though it sounded crazy to some people, I know men that you know, to them, that's how they want to get somebody's attention.
Absolutely. So, but the
it was the
price,
Abby.
The issue, no. Was the money? Funny enough, I didn't do the video because I didn't believe her.
Okay.
For me, once I go online and I see stuff, like yeah, Tiwa Savage stuff.
Use it. Yeah.
Yeah, like Tiwa Savage and stuff before me and her became friends and all that stuff. I wasn't doing it to make Tiwa Savage come to my DM.
Yeah.
I was just growing my page.
Which
is what I do with everybody.
Absolutely.
Right? So for me, I was just doing a content, but it was quite sensitive for her.
Absolutely.
Because somebody else had already said she was lying.
So
she just grouped all of us and gave us the business. And of course, me, I so now people will even come, they tell me, such a woman, I just block them. She has every right to react.
Of course.
Am I going to tell her, say, no, react? No, I did the video. And it was even good for me, traction.
Absolutely.
You know, and all that stuff. So I just came out the next day and did another apology video to her, even though I didn't. I also thought that the only reason why you're angry is because you lied, basically. Was where I said she lied. You get my point?
After
she had to, because the back and forth is good sometimes, as long as you know go physical.
You know go physical, you know cause wahala.
So, but I watch her podcast, of course.
Absolutely.
I still watch the last one with Sheun Kuti from A to Z. So, and I respect people that hustle.
No, I mean, I'm a hard work fan. No, anybody that's one of the reasons why I'm a fan of yours.
No, man, I even come here to ask you questions, and I know the way to make you finish.
I'm a hard work fan.
I need to ask.
Hard workers. Like, I appreciate, I just love hard workers because it gives the right image to the younger folk. Yes. Like, you know, when we were growing up, even though we saw a lot of people that were working hard, we also saw a lot of people that were doing the wrong thing to make money, and they influenced us, you know, somehow. Hey, one guy there where they carry cocaine for here, one guy now 419 for there. This, these were in the news all the time, and they were trying to give the young people a shortcut impression.
True.
So now when I see people like yourself, I see you going on tour with Basket Mouth, I see you on the comedy shows, I see you on social media doing your grad, I see you being a father to your two boys, especially coming from what you've come through, you know.
Yeah.
Quick question before we round up. How was it now mending your relationship with your mom? And did you mend your relationship with your dad?
Of course. So my case is the case of, I don't know exactly how to put it, but let me just go straight to it. So what happened was, I was in Lagos for a while, and then I heard through somebody that my mom was living three blocks
in Lagos
from where I was living.
My God.
I'm telling you. Like, when I heard that stuff, it didn't make sense. I was like, my mama? Say yes. I just went there straight. And at this point, I had no emotions now.
Yeah, you know, you've been through it.
There's no kind of cry. Oh, yeah. Reconciliation. I should kind of cry. Just the thought, and I said, I already heard why you left, which I understand. And I'm grown now. And maybe if you said that thing not happen, I for not become
the guy
I be today. But so I saw where they were living. It didn't make sense. I just moved them immediately, you know. So
it was her and who?
My younger sisters.
Wow.
Yeah, because she already married somebody else. Yeah. And, you know, so I just moved them to my crib. And that's how it's been. She didn't ask now for Lagos ladies.
You're kidding me, man.
Now my closest partner will be that now.
Wow. And what about your dad?
Popsy. So apparently Popsy fell ill. He had diabetes and he had to move back
to Benin
to worry.
To worry home. Yeah.
So I was already in Lagos, but they just called me. I was like, Popsy, they sick, because we're sending money, all of us, you know.
Yeah.
Popsy, they sick, oh, this, that. I was like, but I was angry, trust me. But I was like, if this man go pass here, go.
You go vex.
You go pay me. I know we get the opportunity to see him. I just went, and I was with my dad in the hospital for 3 months.
Wow.
Like, I didn't go nowhere. I was there with him in UBTH. Wow. I was there when they amputated his leg.
My
so
God.
It brought back memories of
the trauma.
My cousin, you know, who. So, but he was there, and he lived in worry. Saw me got married. When he died, we were able to give him a befitting burial. He didn't. He died about 4 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but we were cool, really cool.
How does that affect you being a father now? I see, you know, that's one of the first questions I ask you all the time, because I see your kids, they're part of your life. The boys are active. They, you know.
Scary, trust me. Mm. Like, I don't want my kids to ever think that their dad is not, you know, around, or, you know. I mean, that's why I've been around here for this long. I suppose I won't go back to Nigeria, but they need to know, say,
their father is active around, you know.
So it's just, it shaped me into trying as much as I can to be there, you know. And my dad didn't really have excuse, because he was working. Me, I'd be entertained. I was supposed to move up and down, but sometimes I just make sure, you know, that, yeah. So basically, that's just it. But trust me, everybody good now.
Listen, man, I just want to say, before we wrap it up, I'm a big fan of yours. I'm proud of what you've achieved. Listening to your story now completely just shows me a whole different person, and now makes me understand the grind behind a man, you know. And I think that way it makes us appreciate our work a lot more. I'm going to continue supporting you, as I've always done.
Thanks.
Congratulations on everything so far. Let's go get this tour and then get your own shows back on 2024. You know, let's get this money.
Very important.
Ladies and gentlemen, my brother, Efe Wariboy!
I must say this real quick. Real quick, right? I've studied this man right here for as long as I've known him. And there's just one thing, one trait where you get with the off meat tomorrow. I've already tried tapping to win. I never know that it work. The ability to be cool with everybody and give everybody the same type of energy. It's because all of us are human beings. Some people go offend you. Zone them.
Yes.
But I've seen that they should be cool with every, even when fractions, the music industry is cool with everybody. And all of them, they still say this love, they're genuine.
Yes.
So shout out to you, boss, man. It's not even those of us, we still come up. You still give us that, you know, regards and all.
It's a blessing and an honor. Thank you. And I say all the time, I remain a fan. Yes. And when you put yourself in a fan position and not a power player, you will always love everybody. Because I'm a fan. I'm a fan of, you know, you. I'm a fan of Basket Mouth. I'm a fan of Bovi. When you're a fan.
That story, another day we'll talk those stories. The meeting of Bovi and Basket.
No, we're going to talk.
Those stories now.
I have an idea for you that we're going to talk once the camera's done.
Yeah.
And how we're going to, you know, try to change this game. All right? So keep it locked right here on the Afrobeats podcast. Efe Wariboy!
I keep drinking energy, guys.
Hey!
The Afrobeats podcast. Right.